Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 56 of the Forever Strike podcast. I'm Andrew Coates. I've got Bailey Lau with me. And we have, this will confuse you, we have Bailey's coach, even though Bailey started out coaching with me, we now have Bailey's current coach, Haley Berrigan. And you do a lot of group, one-on-one, online, a little bit in person, but you're already full, so you don't advertise it. And you're a bodybuilder.com athlete, so we want to bring you on. Obviously, you and Bailey have gotten to connect on a lot deeper level, but I get to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, and your media is great. So we're excited to have you on. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yes, and the audience gets to learn more.
Yeah.
No, it's not about the audience. It's about what it's about us. There's a little secret. There's a joke with podcasting. We genuinely often will do this stuff to deepen connections, relationships, learn more about people. The audience is total no, we're just kidding. This is absolutely
Sorry, dogs again. That's my bad. Anyway, jumping right into it. How did you get into fitness?
So I was always a dancer and soccer player growing up, and then I had my son and I kind of was just sedentary, wasn't working out. I didn't know how to cook. I really didn't know how to do much of anything when I had him. And so I ended up gaining a lot of weight after I had him. I stayed at the same weight and then gained like another 10 pounds. So I was overweight for the first like 2 years of his life. And my brother was lifting with a friend. He was like, why don't you just go into the gym, try it out. They have a kids club there. You can bring your son. And I was really hesitant at first, but I went, and my coach was a starting strength coach. So I learned how to squat, deadlift, and bench my first day in the gym. And I just fell in love with it and started losing weight, and just like it's changed my life.
So the main change was from being sedentary to just getting moving.
Yeah, I lost almost like 55 pounds, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually overweight, and I have a thyroid condition, and I was on enough medication for like, my doctor said a 65-year-old overweight woman. Because my thyroid was just so bad. I was not healthy. So I did a complete overhaul of my life, and it's been crazy. I feel much healthier now in my 30s than I did in my 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people tend to neglect their 20s. They think that, oh,
they do.
Don't last, right? Especially if you come out of sport, it makes it that much harder to realize that, oh, I'm not playing my sport anymore. I still have to move my body.
Yeah, and I can't just sit around and eat and burn. I won't burn any calories.
Yeah, exactly. Also good for your brain. So then is that how you got into powerlifting? Because I know you did your first meet recently.
Yeah, so I've always wanted to do it. So I started lifting about 6 years ago. And ever since I started, I always wanted to powerlift, but I didn't feel strong enough or like good enough to do it. And I've always watched all these people do it. And so this year I told myself, I was like, I'm signing myself up. I'm getting a coach. I don't care if I'm nervous. I'm just going to try it. It's okay if I don't like it, but it's something I've always wanted to do. So I tried it, and now I'm obsessed with it. So I'm glad I made myself do it.
Yeah, that's one of the harder steps, is to just book the competition, right?
It is, because you can pay yourself against all the people that you'll be competing against. And it's scary. These girls are like insanely strong. And I'm like, I'm a little older now. A lot of them are in their 20s. Will I be good enough? But it's been awesome. It's been really fun.
And the gym that you work out of, is it mainly powerlifting or?
No, actually, there's only one other power lifter there. We have a really good mixture. It's mostly athletic training, so a lot of them train athletes. A lot of high school athletes come in, a lot of baseball players, they train. And then we have a lot of gen pop, older clients. So we have like a huge mixture, a lot of CrossFit people. We have bodybuilders in there. It's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The gym that Andrew and I train out of, Evolve, there are a lot of powerlifters there. There are.
Oh, wow.
And you're right. They're very strong. It's, you know, can be intimidating for sure.
And yet, they sound similar, because We get athletes, a lot of gen pop, a lot of older adults. I was training my client, Larry, who's in his 70s, and we're by the back door. And this man just shows up right behind me, who's 80, saying that his doctor told him he has to start joining the gym. And he was looking for the gym. He just came through the back door. And it just by happenstance that Larry was the person that he sees doing farmer's carries. So it seemed to make him feel like, oh, this is a place for me. So he went to talk to the front. He seemed serious. He's like, I need weights and a treadmill. He knew what he wanted.
Wow. That's Bailey, cool.
Bailey's got a client, Rod, who's what, 89 or am I?
Yeah, he's just about 90. Yeah.
Jesus.
Wow. I love seeing older clients in the gym. It's cool.
Yeah, me too. It means that they care enough about staying functional for as long as possible to, you know, take care of themselves. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We have a member, and I think her name is Grace, and I struggle sometimes. And I'm not sure how old she is, but I believe she's in her late 60s, and she's preparing for Worlds in powerlifting. Now, there's a lot of different federations.
Wow.
She basically is on track where to go and compete there. Now, there are other competitors that might be, like, in her league, but her openers for her three lifts will be world records based on the current world
records.
Wow.
And that's amazing.
And we're not like, she's not, this is not like nothing weight because there's no one in the category. Great. She's strong. Like, she's silly, bloody strong. She's stronger than most of the gen pop that walk in there. And it's really cool to watch. And she's the nicest person.
Yeah. It's so cool to watch. I love like seeing the older clients. We have this guy that trains a lot of older clients in my gym. And this lady's doing push-ups, like elevated on a barbell. It's really neat to see them just moving around. I hope my parents will do that when they get older.
Yeah, right.
It's so hard to talk them into it, but.
Well, maybe it's just like every other, you know, client that a personal trainer gets is once they
realize
how much better they feel, that's when they stick to it. But
mm-hmm.
Getting to the gym is the hard part.
It is.
So then when you went into the powerlifting, did you feel like that sort of affected the programming that you did for your clients?
Yeah, it did. I've learned, so my programming, I've had a few coaches now, probably four. And so everything that I do as a coach is stuff that I've picked up in all my training from all my other coaches and just from learning what works for clients. But yeah, it's changed a lot ever since powerlifting, just more so like managing fatigue. I come from a background before of like trying to max out everything, max out your squat, deadlift, and just not making any progress because you're just going ham every single time. So I've learned a lot about RPE and managing fatigue for my own clients. And it's hard for a lot of clients sometimes not to push things to an RPE 10 and max out everything because they feel like they're not making progress, but it's cool seeing them make progress and the weight moving so much faster where it's not even maxed out and they're hitting PRs. So yeah, I've learned a lot since starting that. It's cool.
Do you ever get the, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you first, and then I have something.
Do you ever get that, oh, wow, you do know what you're talking about? Like, sometimes my clients, when I say, oh, no, you know, we want to leave some in the tank.
Yeah.
Why? And then, however many weeks later, then they do better. And they're like, oh, you do know what you're talking about. And I'm like, what else would you pay me? Like, come on.
100%. Yeah. I get a lot of questioning. And people who want to put on muscle or get stronger, they're like, I see you only prescribed an RPE 6. Should I be pushing that harder? Am I really going to see progress? I'm like, just trust me. And then, yeah, like you said, they come back a month or two later and they're like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. I'm like, yeah, that's the point.
We've got, it's like our week two starting for our Forever Strength group. And one of the members, she had mentioned how like it seemed to be too easy for her. We're just like, just enjoy it. We're going to get you there. Like, it's part of the process. And by the end of each round, they're all thriving. So the question I wanted to ask is, I think this is actually a really cool and unique opportunity. And I think it's mostly enthusiasts, but there'll be some coaches listening. And it's actually a question for Bailey, because Bailey, I know that you told me when we had trained, when I was training you like in person, that it had definitely influenced the way that you programmed stuff, right? So I would love to hear about that. But then I want to learn about, because I think there's a lot of value in working with different coaches. And I think it's actually incredible. So I would then want to see, what did you then learn and what have you changed with the way you train your clients with what you've learned with Haley? Can you answer both stages?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I thought I was a host. I'm supposed to ask the questions.
Too bad.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the time when I first started, because I started in, how old was I? 22 when I started training. 23. It was a lot of, I was surrounded by, in a women's gym, a bunch of trainers that liked circuit training. Like, that's what I was seeing. And I also came from a sports background where the trainer that I worked with when I played in university, it was a lot of, we don't care about recovery. Just go as hard as you can and then work out twice a day. So a lot of it was doing more reps. And if they couldn't do, you know, 8 reps with this weight, then we couldn't move up until they could do it. So when I started training with you, it was a lot of making progress elsewhere, you know, like adding more sets. It didn't always have to be weight that was going up, which I guess was the sort of main thing. And then sticking to more compounds. Things can be simple and still be very productive. And then when I started training with Haley, yeah, it was more about tracking RPE, which in our program, we track reps in reserve. So it's similar. So I guess that kind of came at the same time anyway. But especially when with online clients, more so getting them to track all of the things, not just their weight and the sets and the reps. Like, how did it feel? And then tracking the RPE or the reps in reserve, like stuff like that.
Is that, and I like this because there's a distinction too, because you were training with me in person. So there's a lot of that conversation back and forth in real time. And it's information you can get as an in-person coach, but for the online, you have to find a way to communicate it and track it back and forth. And it's sometimes reactive. Now, I've noticed that clients who train online, who self-select to online, sometimes get better results because they're the type of people who choose to have that framework and they thrive within that framework and they execute, right? Oftentimes our in-person clients, like Bailey knows this, like Bailey's women that she trains are strong. Like, it's fun to look over my client. I'll be with a client, a guy, and he'll be looking at what one of the girls is lifting. And it's like, what has she got on the bar? Like, there was like, you were trap, one of your clients was trap bar deadlifting. And my client looked over and it's like, what's on that bar? And so we added it up, but I think it was like 203 pounds or whatever. And my client was like, wow, right. Holy shit. And so like, in obviously in real time with the person in front of you, you can get a lot of information, but I find that the in-person client on average is still a relationship client. And anybody listening, if you ever have the chance, if any of you guys are local and you get to watch Bailey with her clients, you're going to see just total immersion, total focus, warmth, engagement. And Bailey's clients just love her. They just worship her. And that is a big reason why people keep coming back and getting great results, because they see that level of care and commitment. But often enough, there is a strong relational pull. Whereas online, it's harder to create that. So oftentimes, and I think there was a graduation to where you needed that kind of that structure and a different approach to things. And so what about Haley's? I mean, I know I'm turning this around on Bailey a bit, but Bailey and Haley, what was it about Haley's media that out of all of the people you've been connected to and you see, what was on Haley's media that stood out to you to say, I want to coach with you?
The powerlifting background sort of thing. Cause I wanted to improve my bench, like that thing. It's always been an issue for me, bench. I mean, which is pretty common among women, but I wasn't seeing results with it. And it was starting to get under my skin. So I was like, yeah, I mean, obviously at Haley that you do programming, that you do powerlifting yourself. Definitely.
Yeah.
Had a big impact.
And Haley, have you found that, What do you find people self, are your clientele exclusively women? And if so, why do they self-select to you? What have you noticed about your media and who it attracts?
Mostly women. I have a few males like in person that I train sometimes, like if my clients bring their husbands in, and I have 2 male online one-on-one clients right now. but it's mostly women. And from what I've heard, I've spent a lot of time doing form posts on my Instagram for like a few years. That was my big thing. I don't do it as much now because I feel like I've done it all and it's a lot of work. So I try to do that just like maybe a few times a month. But they told me, like, when I have spoke to people, they say they were drawn to me either because of the powerlifting background, because I look more like a normal person, which is, I like that. I'm fine with that. And because of my form posts that I post, and they want to learn more about form. So it's usually those three things.
Do you think there's some power in that when women get to look at you and see someone that, I mean, the complexity around like body types and what have you is very complex, very nuanced, but let's acknowledge the fact that women and men sometimes too, but women will sometimes look at a certain body type and say, I would like to look like that. And let's be honest about the fact they do that. So if they see someone who has, let's say, a more athletic body type versus maybe what they associate with a traditional, very, very like powerfully built power lifter. I mean, like, I want to be careful what I say, but I think we know what I mean.
Yeah.
Right? Like the heaviest weight class power lifters, they tend to be built a certain way, certainly the men often. But then they see a woman who's like, whoa, you don't look like what I equate to being a power lifter. Do you think that's really powerful in getting women to embrace strength sports? Or just
100%. Yeah. And that's why lately I've been trying to like hone in on people that your nutrition is really what's going to make a difference in the way you look. You can do powerlifting and be the tiniest person and not really have much muscle and be strong. If that's what you want, like your training does not really, like you can lift heavy and you're not going to turn into a man and be like this huge bulky women walking around unless you eat like that for years and years and years, and you probably still won't look like that. So I love seeing that shift with women, like especially my in-person clients. They'll come to me and they're like, I want to get strong, but like I don't want to have like bulky arms, I don't want to like really look like I have muscle. And then a few months later, like I'll point out, oh, look at your shoulder muscles. They're like, I know, I love it. So it's cool to see that shift in women once they start feeling strong. Like I've noticed they want to look stronger, like they love it. But yeah, it's nutrition to me. I try to tell everyone that, like, you can do whatever you want with training.
Yeah. And I would say that some sports do yield a specific outcome, but you're right.
Yeah.
It is the fact that, I mean, if they're high enough level, they're focusing on everything, their mental game, their sport specific movements, their training, their strength, and their nutrition and their recovery and stuff. But you always see the sprinters that are jacked in comparison to that, the marathon runners that are quite petite, because for their sport, they have to carry their whole body for really long distances. So it just makes more sense for them.
High level athletes.
Yeah.
There is something worth pointing out there for anybody listening to what Bailey just said. There is an element of someone will probably self-select to a sport that their body type and their type of muscle will excel at. So there's this argument that, oh, sprinting will make people look super jack, but long distance running will make people look really stringy. Now, there is the type of training stimulus, whether like primarily short burst strength-based or long endurance, it is going to have an influence on how your body looks, 100%. But oftentimes the relationship starts the other way. It's the people who are leaner, who have more of the slow twitch endurance fiber, muscle fiber, which maybe we should do an episode on that in the future sometime. But those people tend to excel at endurance-based sports, and then people tend to do what they like. Oftentimes people who are actually fairly strong or more type one, that fast twitch muscle fiber, they probably are going to realize, wait a second, I'm pretty good at powerlifting. So then they tend to lean into it a little bit. Your prototypical marathon runner generally on average is not going to have like a lot of potential at very high end powerlifting. It doesn't mean you can't do it. You literally can, but you probably won't be world champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. I mean, look at Michael Phelps. His wingspan is ridiculous. Of course he's good at jumping.
Yeah.
His arms are like, his hands and arms are like oars. He's got like a really mobile spine. So like he literally, it's almost as if someone engineered a perfect swimmer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's nuance to all of this. There's always.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. I'm talking about more like Gen Pop type stuff.
Yeah. So have you then coached anyone into powerlifting?
Yeah, I've coached, well, not powerlifting, but stronglifting. So Brett Contreras is a stronglifting competition. I've coached two people through that. But I have a few people in my monthly subscription right now who have reached out to me that they want to sign up for a powerlifting meet and if I'd coach them. So I'm like, yes, I really actually want to get into it, but it's very specific, especially like a powerlifting prep. And I've only been through one once, so I kind of am learning. Still, I'm going to start prep again in August, so I'll have a better picture. But I really like to like know exactly what I'm doing before I get into it. So maybe sometime next year, I'll start getting into powerlifting coaching.
Nice. And I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to coach anyone into something that I hadn't been through on my own. That's just,
yeah,
you know, you'll miss something. Right, that you didn't think about, or even the mental toughness that you need to compete in something where everyone's staring at you, it's just you, and then you got to turn around, wait for those white or red lights, like oof.
Yeah. And I thought I knew like what I was going into, but then when you go to the meet, you have to show them all your equipment, and then you have to pick the rack heights for everything, and then you have to know exactly your warm-up weights and like that kind of stuff. I wouldn't have known if I like just coached someone into a powerlifting meet without doing it. I had no idea you needed to know all that stuff. So yeah, I want to get some more knowledge in it first before I feel confident coaching someone in that.
Yeah, and I mean the whole thing is to support your client, right? So do that best when you've been through it. So then, yeah, talking about what you need in comparison to just specific strength training for powerlifting, how would you compare them in terms of what you need mentally, physically, and then even talk about program hopping and stuff like that?
Well, for powerlifting, the meet prep, the first like 6 weeks is not that hard. I actually remember telling my coach, like, cause I had certain goals that I wanted to hit for my squat, bench and deadlift. And I was squatting like such lightweight for the first 6 weeks. And I was like, am I really going to hit these goals? Like, am I doing anything? What's going on? He's like, yeah, just trust me. And then it gets the second 6 weeks are insane. Like your body is just beat up. You feel horrible. I remember the week before my meet, I like couldn't even think straight. People would ask me questions and just my brain would not work. So the mental part of that was nothing I was really prepared for. But then right when I was done, because I was exhausted, I was like, I don't know if I could put my body through this again. Then the day I finished, I was like, I cannot wait to do it again. So it's good. Like it's hard. It's scary to get in front of all those people and then fail a lift. I failed my third deadlift attempt. And it's scary to do that in front of people because you're like, you want to show out, you want to hit PRs, but it's all a mental learning process for me. So I like to just push myself to do things that I'm uncomfortable with because that's how you grow. So that in that aspect, powerlifting is a lot more mental than just like normal strength training. As terms of program hopping, what do you mean? Like,
powerlifters don't tend to program hop.
Generally. No, not at all. They like tend to stay with their coaches. And it's interesting, like people like seeing new movements like every 3 weeks, maybe even every week. They want their programming to change. And so I love coaching you because you're like, no, I want to keep the same thing. And I'm like, yes, because you don't need to change things up all the time. But powerlifting is even more stagnant with like accessories. I did the same accessories my entire meet prep and up until I think this new block I just started pretty much. So I've been with my coach since the beginning of January and really no accessories have changed. So it's a lot more strict with that, and powerlifters stay with their coaches. They don't really hop around. They're not adding things into their programming.
You broke up there for a second. We didn't hear the last thing.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Last sentence.
Oh, I was just saying, oh, powerlifters don't really program hop. They tend to just stick to exactly what's programmed for them.
And that actually to the point, because you said that Bailey has been wanting the same thing for a while. And so I guess just full transparency for our audience, Bailey's got a knee surgery coming up really soon. So I'd love to hear what you have planned there. But I mean, I think one of the most obvious things is, well, Bailey wants to work on her bench. So that's probably not going to be too affected by this. I mean, like maybe a little bit with the leg drive. But what do you guys got cooked up there? Because when we were working together, there was rotating seasons of soccer and other things. So we would stick with programming, but we would actually restructure the program periodically to reflect the season and the total volume. So what do you guys got cooked up for Bailey?
We don't even know. We haven't even talked about it yet, huh?
Yeah. I'm just hoping to get through surgery and then walk. That's my
plan. And then we'll reconvene.
Yeah, go back to the only upper body days. Yay.
Yeah, but it'll, I know, but you'll get jacked from doing it. And we'll start doing like a rehab thing, whatever her PT approves of. I know she's happy to be able to be doing Bulgarian split squats again and some legs. So hopefully we can get her back into that progressively.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. That's what he said to me the other day. He's like, you're the only one that I've seen smile about me adding this to your program. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
what do you want?
They're so fun.
Yeah. So I know that before you went into your prep, you sort of had a little bit of an injury. Do you want to talk about that and like what it took to get through it and keep going?
Yeah. I have persistent lower back injuries while deadlifting, and it's not the deadlift's fault. Like it was a combination of, it was mainly the programming I was following. It was a new program, a ton of hinge work back to back, heavy deadlifts into heavy RDLs. So it was like six sets of just heavy hinge work. And progressively, my back started getting more irritated every week. And then I told my coach too, I was like, I think I'm on the verge of an injury. I spoke to a PT because my back was starting to get irritated. I just know my body and I knew it was about to happen. And so the PT was like, okay, well, I'm going to have you skip squats this week. And we were going to do a little bit of rehab work since my back was already irritated. And my coach was like, well, can you at least try to squat? And so I go into a body weight squat, just one rep, and my back just like, I fell to the floor. It just gave out. It was just a lower back tweak, but it was a pretty bad one. I mean, I couldn't even sneeze. I felt like my back was just going to break. It wasn't like any severe injury, but it was really painful. I couldn't like walk or anything for a few days. And then I work with Dr. Katie Dabrowski. So she's always helped me with rehab, all my injuries. And I love her approach to getting me moving, walking, etc. We started with box squats the next week, wall sits, and then rack pulls. Progressively, every session, I would add a little bit of weight, increase the range of motion, and just keep progressing that. And then I think less than 2 weeks, I was fine. I switched coaches to the coach that I'm with now. And so he also kept my prep like a little easy in the beginning, just to make sure I was totally fine. And then we switched me to sumo deadlifts just because I keep getting the same injury just because it's safer and I'm stronger in that position. So yeah, it's happened a few times. It happens to a lot of people, a lower back tweak. Just, you can just be doing anything, picking something up, but I've gotten pretty good at learning how to rehab that injury.
Yeah, if you go out through it enough times, definitely.
Yeah.
Were there any other training strategies that you and your coach modified so that way you could continue to, you know, create strength and improvement, but yet like lower the overall amount of like load and stress that your lower back was experiencing?
So slowly ramped up volume and intensity. So it was very light in the beginning. we'd check in. I'd let him know if I was having any discomfort. If not, we'd add a little bit more volume, a little bit more load. So we slowly progressed it as opposed to just trying to go ham because my back felt better. So it was a very slow process. I was squatting, I think he had me start at 165 pounds. And that's like, for me, I was like, what am I doing? Like, am I really going to be able to compete? But it was the best approach you can do is just to take it slowly, listen to your body. Katie always suggests to stay on lower than a 4 out of 10 on the pain scale when rehabbing an injury like that. So just be smart about it.
And there's something really big in here for everybody listening. Notice that in no point do we say, oh, just go lay in bed and don't put any stress on an injured site at all. Now, obviously, where Bailey's going to have a surgery, surgery is a little different, but as quickly as possible, Bailey's physio is going to have her progressively loading what the tissue can tolerate because you want to gain the range of motion back and strength and control in that range of motion. And tissue is, there's sort of a sweet spot with injured tissue, right? No tension or load on it whatsoever. There's no stimulus for it to repair or get stronger. Too much, and it's more than the tissue can tolerate, and it's going to re-aggravate the injury. So there's this sweet spot of the right amount of overload, for lack of a better word, or tension on that tissue. It's actually the same thing as regular training, except you have to push it to a lighter end of the spectrum so that way it's not overwhelming the tissue. But it's the same principle of progressively giving it just a little bit more that it can tolerate, let it recover, and then give it an extra dose. Is graduating the dose at every point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I was wondering if you'd want to talk a little bit more mentally, like going into your sport and having that sort of hitch in your programming. How did that affect you?
I had a lot of doubt just going into it because, again, it was my first meet. I had a little mishap in the beginning of the prep, switch coaches. I was like, maybe this isn't meant for me. Maybe I shouldn't be doing it. I honestly thought about quitting so many times, but I'm like, this is the whole point of it, to push myself and do things that make me uncomfortable. So once I found the new coach, and we slowly eased into it. To be honest, like the first 6 weeks was not like the most fun for me. I was in a really serious relationship too, and then got broken up with like right in the middle of my prep. So again, right then I was like, you know what? I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do this. And I just decided to push through and do it. And it's been the best decision I ever made, but it was really hard. I had a lot of up and downs in that meet prep, but it just made hitting those PRs at the end and completing it that much better.
Yeah, definitely worth that struggle for sure.
Yeah, it was.
Nice. And then I wanted to go over a little bit of, because I know Andrew has a lot of opinions about this, about exposing kids to the gym, because I know that your son comes to the gym with you.
Yeah, he loves it. It's like his favorite place to be.
Yeah, and I've seen you post a few things about, how he draws pictures or something.
Yeah, and he raps for everyone in there.
Nice.
But yeah, he loves it. And I think it's so important for them. It's like, it's really cool for me to have a son, because when I got into training, all of the men in my life were like, don't do it. You're going to get bulky. Make sure you're careful. You don't get hurt. So, and it was mostly men that were saying that to me. So it's really cool for me to have a son that gets to watch his mom be strong and respect that. And for him to get involved in it, I hope one day he'll let me teach him how to lift. He's let some of the guys at my work teach him, but not me yet. But I think it's really cool to have them in there and set that example for them and be able to take care of them, but still show them that you're making time for yourself to be a healthy parent for them.
Yeah, for sure. And so how do you think that will sort of affect him in other areas, or kids in general? I guess you don't have to speak about just your son, but how seeing someone, take care of themselves, have that me time, how it sort of moves into the rest of their their life and their
well people. I hope it would do the same for them and show them that hard work really does pay off, and being healthy and taking care of yourself is the best thing you could do for your kid, for your family, and for yourself.
Do you think that even your parents seeing that your kid enjoys watching you be at the gym and that, you know, he's proud of you and stuff, that maybe that will give them the nudge that they need?
Yeah, my mom, during COVID, she let me teach her how to deadlift and hip thrust. And she actually used to have a really hard time getting up from a chair, getting up from the floor. And during that time, I remember her telling me, I have no pain. Look, and she showed me she could sit on the floor, stand up. She was like, it feels great. So I'm hoping that she's just really busy with work. But I'm like, can I just take you into the garage and I'll give you a program? Just anything. You don't have to have all this fancy equipment. If you can just do some kind of strength training, it would be amazing. So my dad too, I was trying to tell him, he was like, well, I don't want to use a barbell and all that stuff. I'm like, just get some weights. I'll write you a program and I'll show you how to do it all. So I'm hoping he'll let me.
Yeah, that would be awesome. My dad just got an injury to his shoulder that started affecting him. I'm like, you have to keep moving, because he has a labor job, right? So
yeah,
all of the movements that he was doing was what originally caused the problem. And so I sent him to my physio, because Brendan is, he's very good at his job. He's very smart. And so I sent him there. And as soon as he realized that it was helping him and making him feel better, he follows his physio program to a T.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah. And he's not complaining about being in pain all the time, which is also good for me and my mom.
Yeah.
Let's shout out Brendan, because he's super. He works with one of my clients as well, my client Nick, although it was a pre-existing relationship. And I've had a few other physios I've referred stuff to, and I'm just noticing it's so hard to get people in with them. And so I've been watching, I just shouted Brendan out on my media like a couple of days ago, because I like what he's doing, plus the fact that he's the one working with you, Bailey. So it gives him a ton of credibility. I see him at the gym. So finding great physical therapists who value resistance training, that's a huge one. If a physical therapist tells you to stop lifting, find a new physical therapist, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, or the general doctors that say, well, don't deadlift anymore. It's like, okay, what are they going to do, not pick anything up off the ground for the rest of their life? Like, what?
And that's a tricky one. I was talking with Molly Galbraith about this just recently, right? And it's very easy to, like, condemn doctors. And, like, you see a lot of time people post media, like, oh, doctors, I just want to push pills and blah, blah, blah. And I know more than doctors. Is like, no, that's a grift. Doctors have so much to learn and know that it's really very difficult for them to probably have the depth of nutrition and resistance training knowledge unless they literally have an interest in it. Like, I coach a bunch of doctors. I have a medical student coming up right now. So she's like diving into nutrition and training. She loves it. And like, I think that's going to be a big gift forward. But I think I got to get myself back on my train of thought here. It is valuable to look beyond that and understand, okay, doctors are trying to still, like, sometimes, like, they're doing the best they can. And sometimes they do err on, like, covering their own butt. A really good example is when doctors may recommend a pregnant woman stop lifting during pregnancy, right? And I know I'm pivoting this a bit, but there's something good here. People don't want to talk about miscarriages. Like, no one wants to talk about this stuff. And statistically, I think I understand maybe it's at like 20% of pregnancies. So what happens if the doctor says, hey, go lift, and the woman has a miscarriage? That would have happened anyway, right? Maybe the doctor feels like they could be blamed for the whole thing. Or, I mean, Bailey and I are Canadians. Like, we know the US is a way, way crazy reputation for everybody suing everybody, right?
Yeah. So
I understand why the doc might err on the side of caution, because if they say don't lift and the woman has a miscarriage, well, oh, it wasn't the lifting. Like, I'm safe. But what we know is that women seem to, on average, have better outcomes. I mean, like, I got to be careful with exactly what I'm going to say, because I don't have the studies in front of me. But I'm pretty damn sure that, like, women seem to have better outcomes of pregnancy. They're stronger. I think it's just net a massive positive, outside of, like, some very specific conditions that are contraindicators for lifting. But women can, and hopefully in most cases really should, focus on staying as strong as possible during pregnancy. There's some myths around, again, I saw Molly Galbraith posting about this, like you can do new things. If you've never done it before, you can actually like graduate into some like moderate stuff. Don't go crazy. And you could actually maintain some pretty impressive stuff during your pregnancy. You're probably going to downregulate some of the stuff during the third trimester. But if it seems to agree with you, it's good. So if the doc is telling you, hey, don't lift, understand where that's coming from. It's not that the doc is a bad person, but they feel uncomfortable making a recommendation because they don't know enough about it. And in a sense, they are kind of covering their own butt. So it might be wise to get a second opinion on stuff like that. Anyway, sorry.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree too, but I mean, it's also their job to refer you to a specialist if they don't feel comfortable. That's one thing that I saw them miss, which is fine. But back into a little bit more. my last question is, what do more people need to know about strength training?
Ooh.
Like a missing thing that a lot of people, they just don't know, whether they're beginners or intermediate, advanced.
Well, for me, just the confidence and just how you will feel in your day-to-day life is a huge thing that a lot of people are missing because they're probably just afraid to start strength training. Or like I said, they don't want to look whatever bulky means to them. That deters so many women away from strength training and my experience of just talking to a lot of women about it. And just the way that everyone who strength trains, the way that it has changed their life, their confidence, the way they just handle things, their stress levels, the way they feel. Like I said, I feel so much better. I just turned 33 than I ever have in my 20s. So there's just so many benefits that come with it that people are missing out on if they don't try.
And again, this is one of these things you have to be a little careful saying, but I mean, you said you're 33 and yet you look like you're in your 20s.
And, oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Like objectively speaking, right? And honestly, like what I've noticed is a lot of the people who have embraced resistance training and like some of the other healthy lifestyle things that tend to coincide with it tend to look younger, right? And there's a lot more to it than that, but that's kind of cool. On top of it, right?
It is, yeah. And you feel like, oh, sorry, go on.
I was gonna say, people will pay all manner of money for cosmetic stuff to look younger.
Yeah.
But like, we have this thing that, I mean, it's not free, like gym memberships, but it costs a whole lot less and has a way more positive side effects than cosmetic surgery.
I know. It's insane. And I had so many hip and lower back problems after having my son. There was a point where I was in PT. This was before I was lifting. I couldn't even get out of bed and I would dread it because I like could not move getting out of bed. It was something like my hips had widened during pregnancy and it just was messing up everything after. But this right when I started strength training, like a few months later, it went away. Like there's so many people dealing with aches and pains that think they just need to rest and sit around and it's just getting worse. And in fact, if they were to just start strength training, they could probably feel so much better and move around. And it's pretty crazy, like the difference it could make.
Yeah, definitely.
Haley, you've been wonderful. We really appreciate you coming on, taking the time. It's been a real pleasure to learn more about you. And I know Bailey obviously has been, you know, to say the word raving, I mean, Bailey doesn't get visually excited about that's an inside joke, but like she's been really, really thrilled with everything. And so I'm really happy to see how this has all played out. And so thank you for taking the time to come talk to us. Everybody listening, guys, please go check out what Haley's doing. You're going to see a lot of really strong stuff. And I hope it inspires you guys. So please go follow her. And just thanks again for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We've got a bunch of really great guests continue in the queue to bring to you guys. And if you're someone who has found us through Haley's Media, just take a look at the guests we've already had. You might find some people that you really love, or you might discover some great new coaches that you'll enjoy their media. So just everybody, thank you so much again, and we'll see you next week.